So I'm happy to introduce lawyers from Norton Rose and Fulbright to give us a case law update. On my left, or the far left, we have Kat Gamachi, who is a partner in the Houston office of Norton Rose and Fulbright. She routinely represents clients before FERC, NERC, RTOs, and ISOs on state and federal matters. And she's actually admitted into four different bars: Texas, DC, Massachusetts, and Maine. And joining her is Justin Davenport, who practices in San Antonio.
Go. Thank you. Are we on? Great. Thanks for having us. I work here just across town and, you know, see some familiar faces, so it's always great to speak to friends. So today we're focusing on some of the case law. And many of these cases stem from Winter Storm Uri, which I know that there was a regulatory update this morning, so you've probably heard a lot about Winter Storm Uri. I'm just going to do a brief overview of some of the issues because they really do form the backbone of the cases that we're going to be talking about. Because, of course, even though Winter Storm Uri was only a few years ago, the cases has taken a really long time to wind through the court system. So that's where we're at now with the topic du jour in the cases that affect our industry tend to be from Winter Storm Uri. I do want to say that my colleague here, Justin, while not as senior in his attorney years, he actually has a prior career as a history teacher. So I am going to let him do most of the talking, educating you about the cases. The are you doing this or am I?
You can go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So just to set the scene, the major takeaways from the case law from this past year are the PUCT's exclusive jurisdiction over party disputes with ERCOT, ERCOT's protection as a governmental entity under governmental sovereign immunity, ERCOT's ability to set non-competitive rates during emergency load shedding events, the constitutionality of first rights and force majeure provisions, at least in the context of NESB, which we also know that you actually just had a talk on that, and I actually would have loved to have been able to make that because a lot of what I do is contracting. All right. So Winter Storm Uri, again, just going to fly through this. And I also do want you to know, for anybody that got an advanced copy of this deck is like 60 pages long, and there's no way we're going to get through it. So we're going to go through some of this really expediently. So Winter Storm Uri, 2021, freezing temperatures, we weren't prepared for it. ERCOT is designated as the independent system operator, and it's in charge of reliability in ERCOT. So we ended up with a blackout in many locations. There were lots of deaths. There were lots of consequences. In order to try to mitigate the damages, the PUC directed ERCOT to set electricity prices at the market cap of $9,000 per megawatt hour. And one thing that's really important, I wanted to show this graph because they didn't say, you know, you have the market cap, it can go up to the market cap. They set it at the market cap. And that's a really key distinction because there's one thing to have a cap. There's a whole nother to actually be paying that if you don't actually need it. And that's critical to some of our cases. And here, this shows the load versus the cap. And you can actually see that the cap was higher than it really needed to be in some situations. Okay, so these are the main cases that have been decided in the last year. And I am going to hand it over to Justin to talk about the meat of them.
Thanks, Kat. So the first case is CPS Energy v. ERCOT. This was recently argued January of this year, and the decision was issued just this summer. If you're in the industry, it might be pretty well known because this is the case that gave ERCOT sovereign immunity. but it actually stems from two different overlapping cases, CPS Energy, the namesake case, and Panda Power,